Go ahead and be seated. No, let's stand, let's kneel, let's... No, I'm kidding. Go ahead. Simon Says. No, we'll do Simon Says. Well, good evening, everybody. What a great opportunity to be with you tonight to do the thing that I think the Holy Spirit is moving the body of Christ in this hour, in this age, to do just exactly what you're doing tonight. To come together on a Friday night of all nights. Thank God it's Friday so we can come together and worship the King and declare his praises. Amen? Amen. 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 It's so good. Yeah, let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Amen. Well, we're coming near to the end of the year of mercy, right? And I want us to make sure that we end this year with a bang. That we're able to receive the grace and the mercy that's intended for each and every one of us. And I think the apostles give us the kind of posture, the kind of attitude, the kind of understanding of what God's mercy is. And the Lord doesn't want you or me to leave this special year and a grace of celebration of God's mercy without it internalizing, going deep into our hearts and setting us free. Because the topic they gave for me tonight for the talk is, my sin is not greater than God's mercy. Amen? My sin is not greater than God's mercy. This is a battle. This is a battlefield. And I know it because it's a battle I've had to fight. And I want to go after this strategy of the enemy to steal our confidence that God's mercy is big enough for the sins that I've committed. Or maybe that unforgivable sin that I feel that just keeps plaguing me, no matter how many times I confess it or how many times I try to do better. I'm weighed down, and I can't receive God's mercy in its fullness for me, his forgiveness, his love toward me, because of something that I've done. Let's look at St. Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. How many have your Bibles with you tonight? It's too dark, you can't see them anyway. But now you can say, when anybody asks you that question, you can say, if you have an iPhone, just raise it. It's in here somewhere. Your Bible's in there somewhere, right? So here's St. Peter. Remember who St. Peter was? What did St. Peter do on Good Friday, on Holy Thursday night? He denied the one he loved. And Jesus said it would happen. He goes, not me, no way. I am yours. I love you. I would never, never do something like that. And he did it three times. But look what Peter's experience was of God's grace and God's mercy. This is verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, exclamation point. By his great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Here's speaking to each one of us personally saying, by his great mercy, repeat after me, his great mercy. What kind of mercy is it? It's
grace.
Are you convinced about that? What kind of mercy is it? And let's just let the devil know what kind of mercy it is right now. What kind is it? It is great mercy. You've been given great mercy. God's action in Jesus Christ, his death on the cross for you, his shedding of his blood has cleansed your conscience, has set you free of all condemnation, has cleansed you so God can come and live in you as in a temple. Amen? So here's Paul, here's Peter. By this great mercy, God's mercy is so great. It didn't just wipe away my sin. It did something else. But through this mercy and the wiping away of that sin, I'm born anew. So Catholics, guess what? You're born again. Right? Does anybody ever ask you that? Are you born again? You were born anew in baptism. You became a new creation because of the mercy of God's love that was poured out into your life through Jesus Christ. That's greatness. That's a great mercy because guess what? It brought you from death to life. You're born anew to a new kind of life. The King's work has begun in you. And he's going to bring it to completion when he brings you before the Father. And you're going to be amazed. You're going to be taken up. You're going to die in that in that last hour, you say goodbye to all your loved ones, the hour that everybody fears, and you're going to go into that good night. And when you go into that good night, into that moment of darkness, guess what? Somebody's going to start calling your name. Jesus, in his power and his authority and his risen glory, is going to come and speak your name. He's going to say, come. And he's going to give you the power to pass through death into eternal life and bring to fulfillment in you what he's already begun in you. Because the future, friends, your future in God forever is already planted in you. The seed of eternal life has been given to you in baptism. And when the time comes for you to enter into the presence of the Father, and the Son is seated at the right hand of the Father, Jesus will be there. And as Pope Benedict the 16th said, Jesus, the wounded God, takes his wounds with him into eternity. You know how great conquerors and generals and soldiers, they get decorated, don't they? They got things to wear. They've got chests full. They got medals everywhere. Jesus is in heaven for all eternity. And his wounds are the sign of his ultimate victory. When you enter heaven and I enter heaven and we see him, we'll bend the knee. And in some ways, I have the image sometimes like the Father saying, how did you get here? And you look at Jesus and you see his wounds. Father, by his stripes, I was healed. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. By these wounds, literally, you have been healed and transformed. And those wounds are going to be in God for all eternity. But all of heaven celebrates and gives glory to Jesus Christ for his victory. And that's what's there. Not trophies, not things that we honor here on earth, but the wounds of Jesus Christ. Because everybody who enters heaven is going to say, that's how I got here. By his great mercy, I was born anew. So now you're born again here on earth, and you're born again to what? To a living hope. What's hope? What's a nice definition of hope? Go ahead, give me a shot. Shout it out. I'll come down and get it out of you. No. Certainty that we're going to be in heaven. Yes. It's the confident expectation of the fulfillment of my life. Say it with me. The confident expectation of the fulfillment of my life. Where's your life going? Where are you going? You're going to heaven. You're going to glory. Are you confident? That confidence is born in you, and that's the strength of your life. That's the source of your freedom. That's the source of your capacity to get through any trials here on earth, is the confidence that I've been born anew. The down payment of my future has been given to me in my baptism. The King of Glory, whose life itself has passed from death to life, and he's given me a share. He's like sent his anchor. The scripture talks about hope as a kind of anchor. He's planted it in us. And what is to be fulfilled has already begun in you. Look at the person next to you and tell them you're bound for glory. Tell them you're bound for glory. You see it in their eyes? Do you see it in their face? You're bound for glory. Now, with just like a good Southern Protestant, look at them and say, you're born again. I don't want any Catholics to doubt the fact that you've been born again. Let's say it together. I have been born again by the power of the life that is in Jesus Christ. His life is in me. Hallelujah. That is a fact. Amen. It's not something that's out there. Now, what I want to get after now is the devil's strategy. The last thing he wants you to be is confident about who you are and what Christ has done for you. The greatness of Christ's, God's loving mercy. You see, mercy is God's expression of love to us. We experience God's love as mercy because we were without hope in the world. We were dead in our sins, and he brought us to life again through his passion, death, and resurrection. But what the devil wants to do with us is he wants to convince us that we've done something. We've done the one thing that somehow stands outside of Jesus' great mercy. I know there's a struggle in my own family growing up. This is a big deal. My father was a tank commander in Patton's Third Army in the Battle of the Bulge. He was in reconnaissance, and he saw a lot of fights. He was there at the liberation of Mauthausen concentration camp. And Dad came out of the war, and he was highly decorated for the work that he had done, but he didn't want to talk about what happened in the war. He wanted to move on. And for most of Dad's life, he struggled with what we call today PTSD. And there's a lot of reasons guys struggle with PTSD. And one of the reasons was that my dad carried for a long time things he saw and things he participated in that he didn't want anybody to know. And he was burdened and he was weighed down. And instead of being the cross of Jesus Christ being the symbol of Dad's freedom, the symbol for him was the scales. I gotta do something good enough. I gotta be good enough. I gotta make up for all that. And I gotta work and I gotta work and I gotta work. And I hope this is gonna be enough. Because he was carrying within himself shame and guilt and fear and the enemy constantly whispering in his ear, you better not let anybody know what happened. You guys did things that I don't think God can forgive. And he holds it inside. And one of the ways he dealt with it, here's what the enemy's strategy is, to get him discouraged, and then to, instead of walking in the Spirit, in the freedom of the gift of God's mercy and forgiveness, the new creation, he's in the flesh. And he's in the flesh because he's afraid, and he's under sin. Sin's power begins to try to lay hold of him, and he doesn't know what to do with it all. So what does he end up doing? He ends up drinking to numb his pain. And he ends up working to try to balance out the scales. And he's just hoping that when he dies, the scales will be tipped enough in his favor that he'll be able to go before the Lord and say, is this good enough? Does this get me in? But thanks be to God. When I was a high school boy, the Spirit of God broke into my family in a new way, even though we were raised Catholic. My oldest siblings were renewed in the Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit. My oldest sister got on fire, and I'll never forget, she came home, lived away with her family. She came home one weekend and sat down, and those of us who were in the house, she sat down and she goes, I gotta tell you something. She goes, you guys, I know Dad's been drinking for 30 years. Guess what? This is not God's will. And this is not just a cross that we're supposed to bear. Because the discouragement that was on Dad, what happens when a father of a family's under that? What ends up happening? That pattern of thinking and that way of living, it's the way, one of the ways the devil tries to lead a whole family into bondage, right? To sow it through the head and get all of us to relate to God in that fashion and orient our lives that way, right? Because he wants to lead us to discouragement and ultimately to despair. So here's my sister who'd come alive in the faith, sitting at the kitchen table, looking at us sitting around the table, and she said, look, it's time for us to stand up. It's time for us to claim the victory that has been promised to us. And she's saying that like, who are you? I mean, nobody ever talked like that in our family. We never talked about these kinds of things. And she said, I belong to a little prayer group. I got a prophetic word last Wednesday night at the prayer group in our parish. And a local farmer who was at the prayer group came and said, as we prayed for your dad tonight, the Lord heard your prayer and he wants me to come and tell you that the victory you're praying for, he will give, but he wants all of you to come home to him and to trust him and he'll bring healing to your dad. And she's looking right at all of us and she says, look, the problem is we don't believe. We really don't believe in his power, his resurrection power, to be able to heal all the burdens that we're carrying, all the bad stuff and the junk that we're carrying through life. He wants to set us free. We don't even know how to let go of it. We go to confession, but we still beat ourselves up with it. And she said, some of us really need to make a decision now. And she kind of looked right at me. I was like 17 at the time. God brought healing to my dad. He ended up just a few weeks after that going into treatment, 4 weeks in treatment. He stood up at the end of that 4 weeks and said, my name is Joe Herbeck, I'm an alcoholic, I can't live without Jesus Christ at the center of my life. He began to experience the forgiveness on that. In those 4 weeks, he began to let go. He opened his heart and he received the mercy and the forgiveness of God. And it started to go through my whole family. I'm one of seven kids and most of us were drifting. Remember, it was the 70s, you know, and everybody was kind of drifting away. Everybody came back to the faith. Literally, to this day, everybody's still in the faith. My mom died a couple years ago at age 93. When mom died, she had 73 children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren. She's Catholic, right? And she prayed us all into the kingdom of God. That woman had faith. I remember something happened to my mom when I was in high school. She went from a sort of a normal Catholic to an on fire Catholic. And in the house, she had these little stickies all over the place. She was making war against the devil. She'd say to me, she goes, that's it, Peter, no more. I'm not believing his lies. God's got a plan for our family and we're gonna live it and we're gonna lay hold of it. And so every place I'd go, I'd be in the bathroom and there'd be stickies on the, you know, Jesus is Lord, you know, all these different things. The victory belongs to the Lord. And all of a sudden, the environment, the whole culture of our family began to change because what we did was instead of focusing on our shame, focusing on our brokenness, focusing on our failures and our sin, we began to put Jesus right at the center. We began to talk about him, focus on him, to celebrate his victory together as we came together as families, begin to talk about him. We literally, like Peter said, we just learned how to enthrone Jesus Christ in our family. Guess what? As we fixed our eyes on him, we got free of the burdens we were carrying that kept us from feeling like we could come freely into his presence and know his love. Instead of any time I got too close, the first thing that came to mind was what a bad guy I was and all the sins that I committed. And I wanted to be like Adam and Eve, and I came into his presence with fig leaves on, right? To hide my shame. I didn't know how to let the Lord take away my shame with his mercy and with his love. There's no greater love than what Christ gives to us in dying for each and every one of us. I want to ask you tonight, how many of you here are battling at times with that kind of struggle? Maybe the thing I did was just too bad. It was in some ways unforgivable. And I've got to do so much to make up for it. Anybody ever feel that in your life? Any struggle? Because I'm gonna have you come up and just confess your sins one at a time. It's really effective. It's really good. Starting with my wife, Debbie. That's why she's here. The enemy wants to get us in the place where it's difficult for us to receive that mercy and to celebrate it and to stand on it in our lives. What he wants to do is lead us to discouragement. And ultimately, if we stay with it, to despair. Because he's a liar, right? He's a murderer. And that's how he does it. And one of the things that he wants to do is he wants to steal Jesus' victory. He wants to steal his victory in your life. He does not want you to wake up in the morning and say, hey, I know I'm a mess, big deal. What I do know is that the King lives in me and I know where my life is headed. I'm bound for glory and I'm gonna walk through this day with joy in my heart, thankful for every breath that he gives me. Because his mercy is great, so great that he saved this great sinner. He actually did it. And it's happening in my life. And it's not about my power. It's not about my perfection. It's about his action in me. And I'm going to declare his praises today. But what the devil wants you to do is to get discouraged and to feel like somehow you can't because this sin is so strong in you. And what you do is you steal Jesus' victory away. You end up saying, well, yeah, it was great, but not great enough to deal with my problem. Right? And he's the liar and the thief. We don't want to be thieves, do we? This is what the saints always used to ask. Teresa of Avila, Catherine of Siena. This is what the devil wants to do, to steal Jesus' victory in our lives. Instead, he wants us to be able to proclaim it with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a little shorter than it needed to be, but I'm ready to praise the Lord. How about you guys? Yeah. As these guys are coming up, I thought it'd just be good for us to just stand for a minute. Let's stand together. And let's just right now, wherever you are, let's declare to the enemy that enough is enough. Let's take the authority that is ours in Jesus Christ and let's tell him where he can go. And where's that? This is the one time you can say, go to hell. Sister Ann always tells me that, right? And if you want to, pray with me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, you are my King. You are my Lord. You are the victor. You won the victory in my life. You saved me. You cleansed me from all my sin, from every sin. And tonight we say, tonight I say, Lord Jesus Christ, your mercy is greater than all my sin. I want to say it again. Your mercy is greater than all my sin. And I want to thank you, Jesus, because that's fantastic. It's awesome. And Satan, I'm telling you right now, in the authority I've been given as a son and daughter of God, I stand in his authority. I call you a liar, a murderer, a thief, and I command you to go. And I command you to release me, my memory, my imagination, my heart, my family, my whole line, my whole family line. I declare Jesus' victory. Go to hell. Amen. Now let's worship the Lord. All right?